that available. This is on the basis of that report that the minister actually made awards for gave green drop certificates earlier this year. The targeted support, how do we decide and target? Yes, it is done through monitoring, and it's done through us putting in information into our national information system and trying to identify those municipalities which have the greatest need. It's also obviously informed by the information which our colleagues from the regions get through their engagement with municipalities, their engagement with their provincial counterparts as well. The constitutional issue, which was raised, does it include wastewater treatment? The short answer to that is yes, it does. The policy on zero tolerance, it's been stated here before, is that the policy of the department? Yes, that is. The Municipal Ndaba Action Plan, I did in my presentation indicate that I would make that action plan available. My colleagues will just keep a note of that. There was a question raised with regard to the Section 78 and the need for the separation of the Water Services Authority and Water Services Provider roles. That's really from the point of view of being able to better regulate at a local government level, because the local authority, the Water Services Authority, is responsible for putting municipal bylaws in place. And then you have the situation where you're policing yourself. It's not an absolute necessity, but it would be a nice to have if you had that separation. There are municipalities who do both the authority and the provider role, but my colleague from Salga will respond on the Section 78 in terms of the need and why, if I could just park that one there. With regard to the access to CETA funding, yes, we're using that in terms of process controllers. The problem at Ellisdale won't be a unique problem. It's a similar problem to what you'll find in many of the municipalities with a lack of technical staff. And you might be aware, Chairperson, of the report that was done under the leadership of Alison Lawless on the numbers of dealt with the engineering capacity within municipalities. And if you look at that as you cascade it to all of the other technical capacities one needs in municipalities, you find a similar challenge, that you just don't have sufficient technical capacity in Munich, and you will find some municipalities having unqualified or underqualified personnel running important installations like a wastewater treatment plant or a water treatment plant. And that's our current reality, but our programs are intended to try and address that and to turn it around. But that is the current reality. You spoke of a multiplicity of plans, and there once again I'm going to ask William Moraka from Salga, when he talks to the Section 78, just to respond to some of the planning there. But the actions which the department has in place are really interventions to deal with deficiencies which are highlighted through the Water Services Development Plans and those other plans which, water conservation and water demand management are part of a Water Services Development Plan, but we might need a specific intervention, and we then put a support program in place. Madam Chair, I think I have covered many of the questions which I would have if I could then ask my colleagues from the regions to then respond to the specific questions which were related to them. And Madam Chair, if there are any areas which I've omitted, I will check with my notes again and follow up with those if I have omitted any. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. My question was also directed to the clarification of the bucket eradication, the remaining bucket in terms of the estimates and so on. We were having almost about 7,000, but we will give the exact in our figure. But these remaining ones, they were really based on the pre-94 agreement in terms of the criteria. And there were those particular areas where communities, they didn't even, you know, want another type of the sanitation. They wanted even a full waterborne, in which we're really starting to finalize it with certain, you know, options. The element of the effectiveness of the forums in the Free State, there are other forums which are the responsibility of the Premier to be able to establish and so on in terms of the intergovernmental relations, you know, the Act. And those particular forums that I've already mentioned there, according to the operation cluster, which we is emanating from the Premier, you know, as a delivery of as a provincial, you know, state of address. And we, in order to fast track the service delivery, those particular committees have been set, and the letters have been given through the Premier's signature, who's supposed to participate there, and the chairperson dealing with those particular, they are really high senior officials, and most of them were also even the HODs, and all the representatives from the national departments, even other related institutions who are really in the province, they are really participating in those particular forums. The forums which are not within that, in order to be able to make sure that the technical and the political clusters are really functioning well, are those particular, you know, the forums that are really being headed by the water affairs, like we've got SALGA and the water boards and also water affairs. Those are also effective, where we can be able to talk immediately if there is any crisis and any capacity in our problem in a municipality, we can be able to react around it. But we are really sticking to the programs and the forums which have been, you know, was identified in the Free State, in which it's not only the provincial or the national, even the municipalities are participating. That's the integrated plan as well. And to look at the operational cluster, whether it's properly funded and whether it's collaborative, this, as I've mentioned, it is the way in which we approach the service delivery in the Free State and to fast-track it. And all the departments and all the role players, they were brought to one room where we have given in terms of our budgets, how can we be able to contribute to those 70 injunctions which have been identified through the provincial hotline. And as we need to be able to shift our budgets and to be able to align with this. And on top of that, certain things which have really been omitted through provincial hotline, we can be able to add in order to fast-track the process of the service delivery in the Free State. And now next year and other years, it is going to be very easy now. We'll be knowing exactly now what we have to do in the province and also how we can be able to align all those locked budgets and so on. But most of the budgets will really be prioritized. The element of the indigenous in terms of the free basic water, we are referring that there will be other municipalities who are not, you know, mentoring in our their particular services and so on. And we are still talking to municipalities. That is a service that we are really giving to municipalities. They need to know exactly what they are really providing to our communities. And the indigenous policies should be able to talk to that. And that if communities are really worried, they don't get what they're supposed to get, it should be very clear that the municipality can provide us with the data and we can be able to give the community what is really being provided by the municipality or what is not being provided. And which is, we are linking it with the conservation and demand management on the losses which are really happening at the municipality level. The element of the Water Users Association, where is it from and so on, it is part of our National Water Act, and this is the third sphere of, or the tier in terms of the water management area and so on. Now, we do have the government water schemes that have to be transformed to become water users associations. The compositions of these water users associations are dependent on the users on that particular local areas, and they need to be approved by the minister in terms of giving them that particular authority to manage that particular areas. And now we've got them in the Free State and even in other regions. And what we are really working with is not only water affairs. In the Free State, we went to the point where we've got a tripartite, you know, a memorandum of understanding, land affairs, agriculture, and water affairs, in order to help us for those other, you know, users who are really coming in, they can be part of this particular associations in terms of the management. The issue of the rainwater harvesting, the training of the rainwater harvesting, we have worked with the Agricultural Research Council and Water Research Council, which funded the Agricultural Research Council. We had a program in terms of the rural development in Tabantu, where they have researched on the rainwater harvesting basins, how to conserve the water on the ground and their planting, and they call it Matangwana, to cover almost some villages in Tabantu. Now, what we wanted to do, we wanted just to say, during the period where there is no rainfall, and they have to carry on with their production of food, and we need to be able to have other mechanisms where they can be able to harvest this water. Now, we want to use these particular tankers, again, as a multiple purpose, but again, to fill the purpose of also the productions in terms of the food security, which is going to be part and parcel of our poverty alleviation strategy. Rather than to have these tankers there, and we find that communities are harvesting water, and that water is just only used for washing, you know, as cars and others and so on, we are linking it with the food security programs through the Department of Agriculture and Agricultural Research Council, which is really leading that. I thank you.
Madam Chair, there's a couple of things there which I picked up. One is around how do we try to ensure the civil society involvement or community involvement in the water affairs programs in municipalities. Just to reflect on that, we've got our community development officers who interact with the community development workers in municipalities through all our programs. And that's listed in my presentation on slide 12. And then others, we do a lot of training and awareness campaigns around health and hygiene, the WASH program. Up to now, we've got our youth programs, we've got all the 2020 vision and those kind of programs. And then we also have training sessions for the CDWs as well as for councillors to ensure that they are fully aware of what is happening around water programs and what the roles and responsibilities should be of all involved in the sector. I suppose everything can be more effective, but there are real programs targeting to ensure, specifically on organized civil society, the civil society organizations, there's a specific budget allocations to the training and involvement of them in training programs, and they are being used in the awareness programs in various municipalities where we make use of them to get the messages and the involvement of people around that, and awareness which stretches obviously to water conservation, to payment, to all those kind of things. Second one was a question on the Rife non-payment in the Northern Cape. Now, as highlighted in the presentation as well, we do a lot of capacity billing in municipalities around tariff setting, about billing systems. We assist together with the Enza Manji deployees from DBSA in ensuring that there is a system of collection in place. We assist them on their bylaws on how to implement and enforce, but the eventual responsibility lies with the local municipality themselves to implement and enforce implementation. We, through the asset management and through the operation and maintenance programs, we instill on them for budgeting for those activities, and then where does the fund come from, equitable share, Canada, and all that. So they have to have their payment system in place. Now, there are still, and it's not in Northern Cape, only countrywide, massive challenges around that, But the department within its mandate, and in the Northern Cape definitely, is trying through specific targeted programs to assist municipalities in ensuring that cost recovery improves. If I then look at, I'll not touch on all the directives. We've issued numbers of directives, as Trevor Bolger has said, all that information is available. We are locked in high court cases currently around unlawful use less than pollution. But we've got cases as such as instance against the Salt Pike Municipality. We issued three directives and we're in process of taking that further. And in the meantime, the municipal manager resigned. But to come back to the, what is the profile of the Northern Cape look like, and what do we do with regard to affirmative action and gender equality and that? The Northern Cape has got an employment equity plan, which forms part of the larger departmental plan, and it gets sent and updated on a quarterly basis, gets sent to the offices in Pretoria, where they look at that and approve that and whatever is necessary that reflect on that back to the region. Currently, I haven't got the detail of that right out of my head, but the white officials make about around about 15%, and the black is around about 85%, and gender is around about 33 to 34%. And the full appointment process takes cognizance of what is in the employment equity plan, and it gets implemented within the available pool of people that we can attract to the Northern Cape, which is very challenging, Madam Chair. We try to get as close as possible to the national targets and contribute to the departmental profile. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that some of the information that we get out of your clear presentation, if there are some questions that members would like to ask, then we can do that through the national office. Okay. Thanks, Ben. Northwest?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. some of the questions here have been addressed by Trevor, and he has also requested that Ndate William Morake address the issue of Section 78. but I just wanted to respond a little to this Section 78, just to highlight the complexities of not having it in place. for instance, the two districts in the Northwest have retained that Water Services Authority function. However, the local municipalities in those districts do take responsibility for some of the water supply activities. For instance, in the towns and in the townships, and the district ends up being responsible for providing services in the rural areas. Now, as I said in my presentation, when there are problems in such a local municipality, the local municipality then refuses to take responsibility and say they are not the Water Services Authority, but they are just the water service provider. And in most cases, we end up with situations where even there is no water services, water provider agreement or contract between the local municipality and the district. So it becomes very difficult for us to regulate in that particular instance, in the sense that the local council says, no, it's not our responsibility, the district says, no, we have an agreement in principle with the local municipality. So it becomes very critical that we have this Section 78. And by the way, Section 78, I think that is why Trevor referred it to Ndate Morake, is a Systems Act, a section of the Systems Act. And it's supposed to provide for the best mode of service provision, and we're not insisting on it because of the bias towards water ports, but it is because we want the municipalities to determine the best mode of service provision in its area of jurisdiction. there was a question on the issue of funding. We have indicated many structures, the European Union, Danida, and so forth. These funds are actually not meant for infrastructure development, but they are for support. For instance, capacity building within municipalities, training within municipalities, gender mainstreaming within municipalities, etc. They are not really intended for infrastructure development. However, we have looked at supporting, for instance, NGOs which would go out and train NGOs being trained in terms of providing services to municipalities. So indirectly, it will allow or enable the previously disadvantaged to also participate in the value chain of water provisioning through procuring services or rendering their services to municipalities. With the question relating to how we and SALGA collaboratively assist municipalities and water boards, I think William will also add to that, but we have structures where we conduct, for instance, councillor induction workshops, and we do that together with SALGA and the Department of Developmental Local Government and traditional leaders. We also participate in the Water Weeks and Sanitation Weeks collaboratively and provide support to these municipalities in terms of creating awareness on water issues as well as the challenges that municipalities face with respect to water utilization and water conservation. There was also a question on the issue on equitable share, which I alluded to in my presentation. Say it's not adequate. This is what municipalities have actually indicated to us. The intention of the equitable share is to provide services to the indigent within a municipal area. However, what we found is with the challenges, particularly with those smaller municipalities, that the challenges that they face, they end up utilizing this equitable share for other activities other than water supply to the indigent. And this, I think, is common throughout the country, where the equitable share is not ring-fenced and used specifically for providing water to indigents, but it's utilized for other people, for other activities within the municipality. We have expressed our concern to the municipalities regarding the non-ring fencing of the equitable share, because in most cases the municipalities get bulk supply from either a water board or another municipality, and it has led to debt accumulating, as the example that I've given of Moretele and Matibe.
I'm sorry, you are concluding now.
Yes, Honorable Chair. There was a question on the DBSA loans. These loans are facilitated by cooperative governance and traditional affairs department, which arranges loans for municipalities. However, they utilize the MIG funds to actually pay or service that loan. So this loan is actually a bridging finance to accelerate service provision in a particular municipality, and it is serviced through the MIG allocation over the MTF. Yeah, I said that those were the questions, I think, to the Northwest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I give 3 minutes to SALGA, just to sum up?
Thanks, Chair. I'll try and attempt within these 3 minutes allocated to address three questions, which in essence means a minute per question. On the Section 78, there are triggers that really motivate the process that really needs to be undertaken, and they clearly stipulated in Section 77 of the Municipal Systems Act So they clearly define the, for example, where if a municipality reviews its integrated development plan, or whether there's extensions in terms of its services, it needs to really to look at what is the optimal delivery mechanism to really look at providing a municipal service. And really, therefore, Section 78, the section itself talks about whether municipalities will do it internally or externally. And clearly, in my understanding or analysis of the legislation, I personally don't actually believe that water boards are actually at threat, because Section 19.2 of the Water Services Act is clear. That before municipality would enter into an agreement with a private institution, they would have considered all public institutions. So I don't think there should be any worries about that. On the planning side, from a municipal perspective, I think there are, I mean, I'm sure honorable members would be aware about the integrated development plans. I mean, that is clear. That's the strategic direction of the municipality. And obviously from there falls then the water services development plan. What we have done at SALGA, we've actually collaborated with the department through our initiative to really relook at this water services development plan to include the issues that you've mentioned, Honorable Lovemore, in terms of water conservation. We've actually even taken a step further to include water resources at the local level. To say when they submit these plans that we need to cater for water resources and how do we actually deal with that. The last one, Chair, and I'm sure I'm still within my 3 minutes, regarding the mending of wastewater treatment plants by unqualified people, there is a regulation, Regulation 2834, which really stipulates the minimum qualification required in terms of the classification of a particular work. In our hands, you know, we've collaborated with the department to look at means and ways of ready training those operators to bring them to the required standards to be able to really manage those particular treatment plants. Over and above that, in terms of a way forward from our side, there was a study undertaken by the Water Research Commission in collaboration with us and the department. And clearly, moving forward, we will be even regulating the appointment of people who will be managing the water business at the municipal level. And as SALGA, if you look at our presentation, we're even taking a step further to look at a centralized recruitment facility, where then everything could possibly be centralized and said to municipalities, these are the skills required. And if you need these particular skills, these are the issues that you actually need to consider in your employment of people who would run the water business.
Thank you very much, SALGA. I think after this exercise of inviting all the 9 regions to come to the portfolio committee, we'll at the end invite SALGA to respond to the issues that will be raised by the regions and also by members of parliament. I encourage members then to go through this short presentation. Next week Wednesday, it will be Gauteng, KZN and Mpumalanga. Gauteng, KZN and Mpumalanga, and then the other week, which is the last week, then for it will be the 3 remaining regions, which is Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. I will then give over to Honorable Member Kosane to thank this collective on behalf of us, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson, to give me this opportunity to thank the National Department, Regional Department, from different provinces, our colleagues, members of parliament, SALGA, and you two chairperson to share this meeting. I must say to all of us here, we've got a momentum task in dealing with the delivery in different areas. The community outside there is looking at us, that at the end of the day we'll come up out of this boardroom with something. Lives of our people rely on us. Everybody is looking at us. Let's go back and implement all these programs that were presented here and make sure that where there are problems, we correct them, and make sure that where we are doing things wrongly, so we correct those mistakes so that we go forward and bring a better life to all our communities. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. We've come to the end of this meeting. Until next week, I would like to ask those members that I requested to stay behind. They know who they are, and then the rest, the meeting has come to the end. Thank you very much for cooperating. Thanks.
Excuse me, somebody lost the car key for Polo registration CA719454. Yeah. It's a gray Polo. I've got the keys. Thank you.